Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
Let's stand in honor and reverence to the reading of God's Word. Actually, what I'm going to do, usually I read my text, then pray and let you be seated, but I'm going to go back into chapter number 1 and really bring us up into what's happening in chapter number 4. So I'm going to skip around reading. So I'll pray and then I'll let you be seated. Father, we love you. Thank you for being good to us. Thank you, God, for your mercy and your grace. I pray, God, that you'd help us today. God, I pray, Lord, that as we look into your Word, Father, we would get understanding from it, God. I pray, Lord, that you'd help me, Father, to preach with wisdom, Father, beyond my years this morning. I pray, God, that you'd bring back to our remembrance, Lord, the things that we've studied this week, God. And, Father, even in years gone by, the time that I've studied Nehemiah, I pray, Lord, that you'd bring it back to our remembrance. Father, if there's anybody here lost, I pray, God, that you'd save them today. And, God, we'll give you glory for it. In Jesus' name we pray it. Amen and amen. You can be seated. When you come into the book of Nehemiah, It's to me, especially the first six chapters of it, is an action book. And I guess that's the reason that I really like studying these first six chapters. It's because I'm a person of action, man. I don't like sitting around. If something's going on, man, I want to be right in the middle of it. And Nehemiah was a man that in these first six chapters, man, what a leader. And if you want to know great tips on leadership, study the book of Nehemiah. But Nehemiah was, whenever we study him out, Nehemiah is what we would consider a quote-unquote common man. Nehemiah was not a preacher. Nehemiah was not a leader in the church. Nehemiah was, if we want to say it in our day, Nehemiah was not a Sunday school teacher. He wasn't a deacon. Matter of fact, Nehemiah worked for the king is what Nehemiah done. Nehemiah was the cupbearer for the king. Now, simply what that means is this. In that day, before anything went to the king, Nehemiah would taste it first. So Nehemiah was a very trusted man. Matter of fact, if you want to look at it this way, he was the most trusted of all men in that day by the king, because he was the one that tasted everything before it came to the king. And of course, if anybody was going to poison the king, guess who got it? Well, old Nehemiah, he just had a bad day. But Nehemiah was the king's cupbearer. And Nehemiah was from Jerusalem. That's where his hometown, if you want to say it that way, was. And Nehemiah goes to help the king. Well, some old boys from Jerusalem comes running to the king's palace and wants to talk to Nehemiah. Nehemiah sits down and has a word with them. And here's what they say. They say, Nehemiah, the walls of our city are destroyed. Jerusalem lieth at waste, and we are a reproach to everybody. Nehemiah, we need to do something about it. Now, I thought about this. Evidently, those people saw something in Nehemiah and trusted Nehemiah to be a leader for them. So you know what Nehemiah says? Nehemiah says, well, let me pray about this thing. Nehemiah, in chapter number 1, he begins fasting and praying in verse number 4 of chapter number 1, and he prays about the condition of the country that he's from. God gives him leadership to pursue rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem. Now, understand this. In that day, a city had walls that was built around it. Whenever you study these walls out, you'll find out that the wall was 2.5 miles long, 39 feet high, and 8 feet thick, and it covered approximately 960 acres. So it surrounded 960 acres. So building this wall of Jerusalem was no small task. It was not something that he was going to take a few 2x4s, a couple of 16 penny nails, and a ball peen hammer and go out there and build the wall back. It was going to be a great task that he had in front of him. But you know what Nehemiah did? Nehemiah went to the Lord and he said, Lord, I need to do this. And the Lord said, do it. And Nehemiah takes on the task of rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem. Now, I don't know about you, friend, but to me, what a great task that Nehemiah had right here. What a great task he had. Nehemiah knew this, though. There was no way that he could accomplish what had to be accomplished by himself. Nehemiah knew that if he was going to get the work of God done, that he was going to have to enlist some people that would get in there lock, stock, and barrel and help him in the service of the Lord. Now, can I say something to you today? When we look at our community, and I'll just bring it right here in our community. You know, we've got, I mean this from the depths of my heart, and you've heard me say it a million times. I don't want to move nowhere else. I don't want to live nowhere else. I love small town Surrey County, North Carolina. I love where I live at. There's a bunch of good people around here, but there's also a bunch of people that needs to know about the Lord. There's a bunch of people that needs to know over here on the side of a hill is a little old country church that loves people, that loves the Lord. It don't matter who you are, where you from, it don't matter what your past is. There's a little place over here on the side of a hill that loves you and wants to see God change your life. But the only way that they can ever do that is if some people gets involved. You see, there's no way that Nehemiah could have done what Nehemiah did unless he had people to help him. I remember I was reading a book by Jack Hiles years ago on church leadership. And I'm constantly reading books on leadership all the time. And Brother Brian keeps me in a lot of good books on leadership. And I'm constantly reading on leadership. Anyway, reading on leadership. Y'all must not have caught that. I said leading on readership. But I'm constantly trying to read on leadership. And here's what Jack Kyle said. He said a good leader doesn't know how to do everything. He knows somebody that does know how to do everything. And you know what he was saying? He was saying this. If we're going to accomplish the task that's before us, then we're going to have to watch this work together. Amen. To get that done. Amen. You know, there's so many churches today. They're mad about this and they're mad about that. They've got to have 42 committees to see if they're going to buy Charmin toilet paper or another kind of toilet paper. They can't change a light bulb unless 47 people says it's all right. And it has to be this one certain one that you've got to order, and it takes 6 months to get there. Now, you might as well holler amen, because you know I'm preaching. Whatever happened to people loving each other and people working together and just trusting each other in the service of the Lord? That's what happens right here. When Nehemiah asks for help, he assesses the need. And after he looks at the need, he asks for help. When you roll over into chapter number 3, you'll find out that they all begin to talk about this. Nehemiah challenges them in chapter number 2, verse number 17. He said, let us build the walls of Jerusalem that we may be no more reproached. Chapter number 4 comes about, and guess what happens? They get ready to start building the walls. But opposition comes. Yeah. Opposition comes. There's, matter of fact, when you study it out, their name was Sanballat, Gershon, and Tobias. That was their names. And you know what they done? Well, y'all can't build that wall up. You'll never build that wall back up. Listen to what one of them said in chapter 4, verse number 3. Now, Tobiah the Ammonite was by him, and he said, even that which they build, if a fox go up, he shall even break down their stone wall. He said, you're such a weak builder that if a little fox runs across your wall, it's going to fall down. I want you to hear me right here. When you get ready to serve, I'm headed somewhere. I hope you'll stay with me. When you get ready to serve the Lord, there's always going to be somebody. When you get ready to do anything, man, we can put this in a business form. We can put this at school. We can put this right. You can put, whenever you get ready to do anything, there's always going to be somebody there. Now, I'm okay with a reality checkup. Are you with me right there? I'm all right with that. I run a lot of things by the businessmen in this church to get a reality checkup sometimes. But you know what? This was not a reality checkup. They was absolutely mocking what they was doing. If a fox... Can I just remind you how big the wall is? Can I just remind you how big? It's 8 feet thick. I mean, that's a pretty good size wall. If a fox goes across it, it's going to fall over. All they done was criticize them and mock them and done everything in their power to keep them from doing the work of God. But look what they said in verse number 6 of chapter number 4. So built we the wall, and all the wall was joined together unto the half thereof. For the people had a mind to... Here's a word that is a curse word anymore. Work. They had a mind to work. Look in chapter number 6, verse number 15. So the wall was finished in the 20th and 5th day of the month of Elul. Watch this. In 52 days. 52 days. 52 days. 2.5 miles long, 39 feet high, 8 foot wide. Guess what happens? They finish this task in 52 days. Whenever we built this Sunday school wing, these were the verses God gave me to build with. Many of you know that was here. And I prayed and asked God to let us have 52 working days in that Sunday school wing. Now, there was days when it rained. There was days when people didn't show up to work. Imagine that. But I prayed and asked that the Lord let us do it. And you know what? When I went back through and counted all of our working days, we had 54 working days. We missed it by 2 days. But 54 working days. Why was we able to accomplish such a great task? I'll never forget that Friday morning whenever we pulled up and it was a cement slab out there. That's all it was a cement slab and a bunch of lumber. Brother Lloyd, do you remember that? Several more of y'all was here that day. And you know what happened? I told them, I said, tomorrow afternoon the trusses will be on this building and it'll be dried in. And a couple of them said, it'll never happen. Well, you know what happened Saturday afternoon? The trusses was on the building. They was sheeted and it was under roof. Why? Because the people was willing to work. They was willing to work. I want to talk to you about this thought for just a minute this morning. The work of God. Getting involved in the work of God. You know, I the work don't bother me. I enjoy working. I go crazy if I just sit at the house. My wife will tell you that. I've never been able to do that. I'm going to be doing something. I'm going to be gomming around with something. Y'all understand that terminology, don't you? I'm going to be gomming around with something. I'm going to, if somebody's working somewhere, I'm going to get in on it. Work does not scare me and does not bother me. The work of God this morning, we should have a heart's desire to get involved in it. There will be opposition. There will be times that others say that we can't do it. There will be times that the enemy will rise up against us. The enemy rose up. Listen to what he said. Let me just read you something. Can I just read you a couple verses? Is that okay? Let me just read you. I got an outline. I'll give it to you in just a minute. But look. Look in verse number 8 of chapter 4. They come up against him and conspired all them together to come and to fight against Jerusalem and to hinder it. Nevertheless, we made our prayer unto the Lord. They said the enemy, the devil, would do everything he can do, church, to keep us from moving forward for the cause of Christ. The devil would do everything in his power, everything that he can do to keep us from expanding that fellowship hall. The devil will do everything in his power to keep us from building a new auditorium right here beside of us. The devil will do everything in his power to keep us from turning all of this into more Sunday school space that we already need. The devil will come up against us, but look what they did in verse number 9. Nevertheless, we made our prayer unto our God. Hear me tell you the reason that they made their prayer unto their God. Go back to verse number 4. Nehemiah is praying in verse number 4. And once the leader began to pray, you know what the laborers done? They began to pray with him. Did you just catch that? You that's leaders in our church, did you just catch that? The leaders prayed in verse number 4. But in verse number 9, now everybody's praying together. Let's read on. Watch this. And Judah said, verse number 10, the strength of the bearers of burdens is decayed. The strength of the bearers and burdens is decayed. And there is much rubbish, so that we may not, or so that we are not able to build the wall. You know what they're doing? They're doing everything in their power to keep them from doing it. Watch this in verse 13. Listen to what the Bible said. Therefore I said in the lower places, they come up physically against them. Therefore I said in the lower places behind the wall and on the higher places, I even said in the people, or set the people after their families, watch this, with their swords, their spears, and their bows. And I look and rose up and said unto the nobles and to the rulers and to the rest of the people, be not ye afraid of them. Remember the Lord, which is great and terrible. Watch this. And fight for your brethren, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and watch your houses. Can I just say this in passing? There's still some things worth fighting for. He said the enemy is coming. He said, but you fight for what is yours. Now, I understand that in this day, it was a literal physical fighting that they was doing. Look at this. They was fighting for their faith. They was fighting for their family. And they was fighting for their future right there in that verse. The devil is doing everything he can do to tear our faith down. I'm gonna chase a rabbit, okay? But I'm gonna shoot it real quick. Don't tell me happy holidays. Tell me Merry Christmas. Tell me Merry Christmas. Don't give me a card that says Merry Xmas. That's what the enemy wants to do, is cross Christ out of this. Christ is the reason that we have Christmas today. But the enemy wants to destroy our faith. The enemy wants to destroy our families today. He wants to destroy our families today. He wants young men not even to know what they are, and young ladies not to know what they are. God let you be born what you are and made you the way that you are for a reason. And the enemy, it's getting quiet this morning. The enemy wants to destroy every bit of that. He wants to destroy our future. What was this country founded on? This country was founded on the Word of God. We do not need new history classes. I don't have any of this in my outline, Brother Tim. None of this is right here, but I'm going to say it anyway. We don't need new history classes. Our country was founded on the Word of God. Thank God for those who have fought to give us freedoms that we have today. Amen. And the enemy's doing everything in his power to take that away. And he said, you fight for it. I'm going to tell you something. You better not come around my house messing with my wife or kids. Amen. Let me say it a little bit further. You better not mess with them nowhere. It's sad today that when I'm with my teenage girls, I have to stand outside the restroom door of the ladies' bathroom because I never know what is going to try to go in it. Do you say, would I really? I ain't as good as I once was, but I'm as good once as I ever was. I guarantee you, honey, there'd be an old-time Surrey County low-gap whooping took place if something was to try to go in the bathroom with my daughter. He said, you fight for your families. That's what Nehemiah said right there. I don't have any of this in my outline. I'm going to preach my outline in just a minute. But anyway, he said, you, and look, here's the way that they done it. It all comes back. He said, you do it together. You do it together. We're not against each other in this church this morning. You say, I'm against you. Well, I'm not against you. I love you. You may not think I do, but I love you. I care for you. My family prays for you daily. Daily. Every person sitting in this room, we pray for daily. Pray for daily. And the way that we are going to accomplish the work that God has for us to do is through working together. Here's three things. In verse number 6, he said this of chapter number 4. So built we the wall, and the walls was joined together unto the half thereof. For the people had a mind to work. A mind to work. You know what? Brother Joe's sitting here this morning. And there was a time that Brother Joe, before he had his stroke, he could crawl underneath houses and do plumbing. He could do anything. He could tell jokes with the best of them. He can still do that. But because of his stroke, today he is not physically able to do what he once did. But you know what I've seen Brother Joe do right here in this altar? I've got pictures of him laying on his stomach in this altar with a paintbrush, painting that piece of trim right there, that kickboard right there. You know what he was doing? He was doing this. Lord, I'll do what I can do. There may be some things I can't do anymore. Well, you say, well, preacher, you ought to hire somebody to paint that. I did, and Brother Joe come in and said, I'm going to paint it. Now, if you wanted to tell him he couldn't, that's up to you. But Daddy told me not to rob a man of a blessing. You know what he was doing? He was doing this. I want to work. I want to be involved. So built we the wall. You know what? Every time somebody bows in that altar and gets saved or their life gets changed, you know what Brother Joe can say? I poured my heart into making that altar look nice whenever they came to it. So built we the wall, man. May we get in this thing together. May we get in this thing together. You know what? Miss Ganny back there. We'll have visitation. Miss Ganny will always say, now, preacher, I can't come. Preacher, I just can't walk like I used to. But she'll say this, I'm praying for you. Preacher, when y'all go out and so built we the wall. 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 Number one, look at this. I know what time it is, and I'm not going to keep you long. Their persistency in the work. Their persistent, that word persistency means this, a steady pursuit of what is undertaken. Here's the way most people would write this verse today. So we, when contention came, quit. So we, when the going got tough, quit. Daddy, he would always say, back when I was going through Bible college, and matter of fact, the memory popped up yesterday, Brother Matt, of whenever I finished and got my doctorate. Y'all, you and Miss Mandy went with me down there to get that. But he would always say this. He would say, anybody can quit. First night of Bible college every year. Anybody can quit. Quitters are a dime a dozen. It takes absolutely zero effort to quit. Are you a quitter? That's what he would always say. Can I say something to you? Anybody can quit today. Anybody can throw in the towel. Anybody can say, I'm not going back to church. Anybody can say, I'm not going to be a part of the work of God. Anybody can throw in the towel. But is there anybody here this morning that realizes that there is a need for the work of God and that the work of God is so rewarding? Amen. So the persistency in it. They stayed with it. Number two, I told y'all once I got here, I wasn't going to be here long. Number two, their persistency, but watch this, their progress in the work. What did it say? And all the walls was joined together into the half thereof. In other words, whenever you study that out, they had built it up 4 feet. It was 8. I mean, they had built it up halfway. It was 39 feet tall, so they'd built it up halfway and was fixing to start on the other half. But I read you chapter number 6 where they finished it. Where they finished it. The progress of their work. You see, sometimes it looks like in the work of God, there'll be times that you'll think in your mind, nobody in my Sunday school class is listening. You ever thought that, Miss Vicki? You ever thought that, Brother Tim? There'll be times, Brother Heath's out there in youth church this morning, him and Miss Morgan and Bailey and Rachel's out there this morning with them. And there'll be times that Brother Heath will say, I don't have a clue if they heard one word that I said today. And then every once in a while, he'll come running in here and he'll say, I just want to tell you something. And I'll say, what? Man, we had a time in youth church. You did? Yeah. Or did somebody listen to that? Yeah, and they got saved. This young person gave their life to the Lord today and asked Christ to come into their heart and say, in the work of God, it's not every day that you see what's happening, but when you're persistent in it, it is a progress in the work of God. It is the progress in the work of God. I thought this morning, if all of our preachers was here, if they was all here today, they would have to sit in the choir. We wouldn't have nowhere to put the people. And Brother Stan, sometimes I think, God, why didn't you leave all them here? Let me tell you the reason he didn't. Because there was other churches that needed somebody. And that is the progress of the work. But watch this, I'm done. You see, the persistency. And I want to say something to you. Stay with it. Don't quit. Don't quit. I give our couples a challenge on the couples retreat this past week. Don't quit, man. Stay with it. The persistency, the progress. But here, I'm done. The passion and the work. Here's what the Bible said. If you will, come start playing softly. It gives people hope. The passion for the work. The people had a mind to work. They had a mind to work. I got to studying that out, and here's what I found out about it, Brother Robert. The word mind in this text is translated from a Hebrew word, which is translated heart. They had a heart to work. They had a heart to work. I pick on Miss Tina a lot, but she picks right back. I pick on her a lot. But yesterday evening, I am so glad she came up here because I was distraught. You say, well, if you'd have seen that Sunday school class back there in that hallway back there, it looked like three tornadoes come through at the same time. It was awful, wasn't it, Brother Brock? There was glitter everywhere. And I thought, that don't help my OCD. Her Brother Brian come up here yesterday evening and worked 4 hours back there. I think Brother Brian was ready to go after about an hour, but she just kept dragging out boxes. And man, that Christmas tree that's in her classroom, when we pulled that thing out of the box, Miss Hannah, it was bad. I thought, you actually paid money for this thing? Man, you go back there and look at that thing right now. It looks full. It's got the ribbon on it and the ribbon and the bow matches. After they changed it 3 times. Wait a minute. She changed it 3 times. And everything in that room this morning when I went in it was right in its place. Let me tell you the reason she done that. She had a heart. She had a heart for the service. She didn't get a dime for that. Matter of fact, she bought the stuff for that Christmas tree and that Christmas tree out of her own pocket. She had a heart for it. She had a heart for it. Every once in a while on Sunday evenings, I'll come in here. One of the teenagers will be playing the piano, or somebody else in the church will be playing the piano. You know what you say? They got a heart to serve the Lord. They got a heart for it. They've got a heart for it. Let me ask you something. What's your heart for this morning? You talk to a man or a lady, you talk to an individual very long, and you'll see where their heart's at. Now, I like to shoot the bull just as much as anybody else. I like to eat the filet mignon just as much as anybody else do. I like to shoot the bull just as much as anybody else, Brother Randy. But really, at the end of the day, our heart speaks. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. What is our heart for this morning? What is our passion for this morning? I want you to think just for a minute this morning. It's December 5th. And we're closing 2021. I thought 2020 would never end. Here we are closing 2021. And I just want you to take a minute and reflect back in your life. I'm going to go back 40 years. I know I'm old. I can go back 40 years to growing up in a Christian home, meeting Miss Leslie and getting married, 5 years on the road with Rock of Ages, traveling all over the country, working with young people. Wouldn't take nothing for that 5 years of our life. A year and a half at Northwood as the assistant pastor. And then now, 15 years here at Amazing Grace. And what all God has done. What all the Lord has done. This week, matter of fact, Friday night of this coming week, Miss Stephanie and I and the deacons will sit down and we'll go through all the budget for next year and look at everything that came in this year and what all the Lord's done. One thing that's blown my mind, and I know I've already said this, but we'll do probably a little over $80,000 just in missions. That's not counting anything else. That's just world missions this year, given to missionaries across. Man, is that not awesome? But whenever I went back and with Brother Heath and Brother Stephanie, Miss Stephanie, Brother Heath and Miss Stephanie, always do a year-end evaluation. We talk about the year, different things that they've accomplished and what they do at the church. This year, I made them write their own evaluation, and they hate me still for that. But Miss Stephanie and I went over hers on this past Thursday, and when I opened the drawer, I opened her quote-unquote personnel file and put it in it. And there was one behind it that said finances, 2006. I pulled it out. The first one, closing July of 2006. And we had less than $600 left in the bank and still owed close to $10,000 on this building. And I was thinking, man, I left the church and we had 50 or 60 in our youth church every Sunday morning. And I was thinking, I remember them days where you thought, well, old Sir Yakin's going to come see us this month. We're going to have a candlelight vigil at Amazing Grace because we didn't go ahead and pay the power bill. I mean, in a month, we done good to take in $3,500. And if we go that low on a Sunday offering now, I'm like, man, something's wrong. In 1 week, we done good to do that. We look back at what God's done, at what we built that Sunday school wing in 2017. We paid about $50,000 on that out of the general account and the building fund. Then we borrowed $200,000, and in 2 years we paid all of that back, and we're sitting today debt free. And we look back on what the Lord has done. The Lord has done. You know what it makes me want to do? Man, it makes me want to take a bulldozer and start plowing the asphalt up out there and build something else. It makes me want to give another $1,000 to a missionary somewhere. It causes me to have a passion. Some of you sitting here today, I remember when I first met Lloyd Johnson. I thought, oh boy, ought to go to church right there. You said, preacher, ought not be judgmental. You shouldn't either, because we all are. It might not be about spiritual things, but we all are at times. And I'll never forget when God started working in his life. And I'll never forget the closing of the summer of 2016. We were standing right there in that parking lot, and he looked at me. And he said, we're going to build that Sunday school wing. And I thought, 10 years ago, if he'd have told me that, I'd have been surprised that he's standing in a church parking lot talking to me about the things of the Lord. I'm not trying to embarrass him. I'm just being honest. And he looked at me. You know what happened in 2017? The Lord done it. And he gives me a passion to do what we do because God has been so good. He's been so good. It makes me want to work for him. Everything, it's 1201, rises and falls on leadership. Leslie and I was talking about this morning. It rises and falls on leadership. I'm telling you, it does. It rises and falls on leadership. And let me tell you the reason that the Lord has blessed the way that He has at Amazing Grace is because we've kept the leader the leader. I'm not talking about me. I'm talking about Him. We've kept Him the leader. And whenever we remove Him from leadership and we try to do this thing, she'll crumble. She'll crumble. The work of the Lord this morning. Let's be persistent in it. Let's stay with it. Let's not throw in the towel. You may have come in this morning and thought, man, I just don't know. You may have woke up this morning. Mama said this. I was talking to her there in Cherokee, where Jim said, they're out there gambling, ain't they? Mama said, did you hear about that boy that woke up and didn't want to go to church? I said, no. She said, yeah, he woke up. Said, I ain't going to church today. The wife said, well, you need to. He said, well, why do I need to go to church today? She said, because you're the pastor and everybody's depending on you to get there. May I woke up this morning, or maybe over the past few weeks, just in the back of your mind, you thought, does it really even pay to serve the Lord? But I need to just stay in. Listen to persistency. Just stay with it. Just stay with it. They finished the walk.